Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
to heaven. I'm a duty to give into the house of the Lord and the work of the Lord, especially when you know the work is fruitful and it's good. Amen.
I want to do. Oh, my God. Yeah. the ministry and water up. And in the house, hallelujah. Give you a glory to God. Hallelujah. And also give an honor to my parents, glory to God. In the house, hallelujah. I always watch up on my side. It's never been. If I have my parents and the father, I'm here to glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minister. After the things of God, hallelujah, such an honor, amen. Give it honor to my prophet, glory to God, in this happen. Over the night, glory to God, in our prophet, hallelujah, who is in the back, amen. Give it honor to our evangelist, in the house of God, in the ministry of God, our ministry of music, glory to God, Christian ministry, Christian glory to God, hallelujah. I'm so grateful, hallelujah. Give it out to the stewards in the house, amen. Give it out to the back in the back, glory to our colleagues, and to teach the glory to God. Give it out to our sales, glory to God. Hallelujah, my sales, minister, my sales. And joy and fire in the back, amen. If you were here last night, I would say this.
Yeah, I
say it. Thank you. Y'all would be up to me. You be there. Y'all have no idea.
My God.
Giving honor and glory to God, to the woman of God, who I am so glad to see on this morning. Glory to God. Not other than apostle. Glory to God. Always Mary Alvin. Glory to God. In the house. I'm so glad to see her. Glory to God. Amen. She's good. We're going to get to the night. Amen. But we're glad to see you on this morning, apostle. Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Lord God. I hope I have enough energy to preach. I'm excited about the Word of God. Okay. And I'm glad, Lord God, that I'm my son, minister, a Christopher over there.
Amen.
They seem to have right spirit. I mean, really. I'm excited about this word that God has given us and this privilege to be a part of this symphonic union. This truly is a God thing. And it really is a blessing to dwell together with our brother and our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Our theme for this month of August, Fifth Sunday Union, is in unity we thrive. And I tell you, I have been blessed only 3 days of listening, glory to God, to the Word of God and what unity entails. Glory to God. But I want to serve you notice ahead of time that the Lord gave us a little, like a final closing on this word of in unity we thrive. And it is still in the vein. How many know we're going to talk about this morning? Moving in God means to live godly. God, you can't do anything. You can't be in unity horizontally with anybody until you understand what it means to move in God. How many of y'all know that the Lord said it is in Him, we live in Him, we move in Him, we have our being. And so I want to serve you notice that not everybody is on the same page in this nice old Christendom. And so if you just bear with me, you're going to learn some things that you're going to ask them what they already know. And for those that didn't know, you're going to learn, Lord, about some things that you didn't quite understand. And so I think it's so befitting, I see where we're all camouflaged and we're a decked out, glory to God, and our Sunday gift union attire, which is camouflaged, which is a good thing, glory to God. I don't know if Uncle Santa Mommy understood the very magnitude of what they were doing. Understand it on a natural level, on a horizontal level. But how many know that we are on a hierarchy, glory to God? And we got this thing wrapped up in on a spiritual, on a manifestation of spiritual power, a spiritual endowment that came from God alone. And so when we talk about the word camouflage, it means hidden power of an enemy to the understanding of its way. I had recently, maybe a couple weeks ago, posted this on Facebook, and I didn't even think about it. I put this just on the unit. And when I talk to reminders, we're camouflaged. I'm like, oh, my God. But we must be aware, this is a good thing, of the camouflage of the things that assume our attention, things that are assigned to entice us and to bring us out of the secret place of God. Many things are hidden under what they call a subliminal manifestation. Many of you think you're looking at one thing and you're looking at another. And so these camouflages of life, all these things that come up against us, et cetera, to move us off our place of unity, their mission is to abort the cause of God, the force of God in your very life. And so you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You have to be so in tune in God so you understand what it means that I must move in God. So if you move in God, I believe you're some of those dead people that were destroyed in the tower back in 2002. I bet the woman that will say, yeah, the Spirit told me not to come to work today. The Spirit told me to go out for lunch or whatever. To be enabled by the Spirit to have an ear to hear so you can move with God. And so when you move in God, this is the only way that you are enabled to live godly. You can't live godly without moving in God. And so we're going to go back to the beginning of time, Exodus, the 25th chapter. But I want you to, I'm going to expound a little bit on Exodus 25 again, but I want you to go to Numbers 9. And you can read, jot down Exodus 25 in your notes so you can read that in your time of study.
All right.
So we're going to go to Numbers 9. 15 words. But in, I'm going to take you back to the beginning, and I'm going to do my best to get through this entire teaching so you can have a whole understanding of what it means to move in God and perpetually live godly. See, it's time out for us to start. The scriptures say you start and you begin well, but what hindered you that you didn't keep the whole faith? Even our base scripture, we're going to find out that Paul was talking to a people that were enabled by God's Spirit. And I'm going to show you that when you get a hard word such as Paul challenged the people in Philippians 2, everybody may take that hard word like that. I didn't know that the scripture talks about that some things in the word was hidden so they wouldn't understand why it wasn't for them. So if it ain't for them, we ain't gonna be able to get it. This is only to those that are called and chosen and faithful to this call. And so in Exodus, I'm gonna take you back to the beginning. When the children of Israel, they came out of bondage, out of Egypt. The life of the people from the beginning of time is the same as the life that we live. They live the life physically. We live the exact same life that the children of Israel did, but we live it in a spiritual manner. Died off, and so they end up in bondage. First, they was in the land of plenty. They had what they need, but they ended up in bondage. And so God sent a deliverer. God always sends a deliverer. God has a ground in the bush already set up to bring you out. You don't have to worry about the being unified and being attached to things that are contrary to God. You just got to understand that I need to know what it means to stand still and see the salvation of God. No matter what I go through, I have to understand this is only a test. Stay with me, this is only a test. Now, I don't need your participation in this message because I am shown the fire about this word. And so what he did when the children of Israel came out of bondage, Lord God, and their leader, Moses, God gave him specific instructions. God said, I want to be with you. I want to love you. I want to take care of you. I want to be your very breath. I want to be your provision. I want to move you into this great provision that I have for you. And in other words, I want to cause you to be unified with me. So the Lord gave Moses instructions to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle built, it was a portable place. The tabernacle that Moses built was very portable because God didn't want them to camp out in one place. He didn't want them to do about all the enemies that were around them. Why? Because he was moving me to the brother. Suddenly God is moving me to brother. So you can't camp out where you are now. You can't get comfortable. I can understand that there are high heights to be with it than God. There are so much more things to God than what I touch, than what you touch. So therefore, my expectancy is wide open. I want more of God. How about you? What do you want more of? Do you want more God? Or do you want more cake and ice cream? Or do you want more money? Or do you want more things? I'm going to challenge you today. And so he told them to make this tabernacle. And in the tabernacle, God instructed them to make this thing called an Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, and you read it in Exodus 25, was a representation of God's Spirit. His Spirit, which literally dwelt with them. And so everywhere they went, two things they had. They had this horrible tabernacle, which was found at the pier, was a place of worship, was a place for them to go in, all the sacrifices into God. And then they had the Ark of Covenant. Say with me, two things I need. So you need to know that today that you are the tabernacle of God. No longer God is calling buildings and edifices to be his dwelling, but you are the tabernacle with God. And his Spirit dwells on the inside of you in the presence of the Holy Ghost. And so just as they move with God from the beginning, we still must understand that I got to move with God. Shall God make you move with him? God ain't gonna make you move with him. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. His voice is still, and it's small and it's quiet, like the young lady testified to last night. But everything else around you is very boisterous, and it's demanding your attention. I want you. I want your whole being. This is what God tells you. I want you to unify with me. Unify with this alcohol. Unify with your flesh. Unify with what feels good. But God was calling his people, just like he's calling us today, to unify with him. In unity, we thrive. And so we cannot get this twisted. God wants us to make sure we don't get it twisted. See, sometimes we try to unify with people or something, but yet we ain't connected with God. So this unity we're talking about is unified with God. Say with me, when I got my unity with God, right? Everything else is going to fall in line. 15th verse of Numbers 9. So we know what tabernacle is. This portable tent that they were able to move. Okay. So on the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it. But from evening until morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire. This was a regular pattern. At night, the cloud that covers the tabernacle had the appearance of fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, which is the tabernacle, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command whenever he told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duties to the Lord. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days. So the people would stay for only a few days, as the Lord commanded. And then at the Lord's command, they would break camp and move. Glory to God. Sometimes the cloud would stay only overnight and lift to the next morning. But day or night, when the cloud lifted, the people broke camp and moved on. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as they lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command. And they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses. Say to me, I got to go with God. When God moves, I gotta move with God. And so just as we see this here, we gotta understand that it is the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of us. And it is him that we want to unify We are not to be unified with struggling.
Right.
But we are in unity with thriving. Really, I don't know what you're talking to me now. That's all we find.
Hallelujah.
You do exactly what I want to
be. Come on.
Say what you make, devil. I know too much. So we are no longer subject to trying to make something work.
That's
not
right.
But we are into this place of thriving with God. Why? Because we're now moving with God, just as they did. Go with me, Numbers 8. We must understand that there is a separation. There's a big separation. The Bible talks about the sheep and goats. That's not even enough. Now, I don't know about the sheep and goats, but I'm telling you right now. But in the earth, there are sheep in the goat in the earth, and there are goats in the earth.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying. I'm going to continue with my
right.
You got to understand that I'm called to pay attention, that I must what perfect what God has given me, and I've got to know that it's mine to what perfect.
Right. Hallelujah.
I mean, minister, this song, right? I'm going to speak into. You think we sang that just to feel good?
My God.
There should be such a
declaration
coming from your mind. Healing is my deliverance. Is my joy. Is my peace. Is my lack of a friend. I don't want to cry. I am bad and God. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven is under fire, and it's a fire taken by force. Somebody trying to steal your 6-year-old and kidnap him, you're going to be like, leave him alone.
Oh, my God.
I can see that mother all over the ground. Oh, weave everything up there. Now, they're going to rip up all of them trying to get
out.
Do you understand what it means when something alone sticks you?
Yeah.
I need to take care of it up on the table.
Oh, my Lord.
In the day of this gone tomorrow. Numbers 8 in Exodus.
Wow.
So the Levitical priesthood is a metaphor of who we are today. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about you as God,
Captain.
You his temple. You unified with him. You're thriving and increasing in a manifestation of our unfold having you mean every day I get up on happy. You need to listen to your money, you still have to owe your service. You need to tell your wife, you still have to owe your service. You need to tell your wife, you still have to owe your service. I'm just saying that this is here, my lady, of room, and I have my baby. Let's talk about the Levitical priest, where God released this anointing, this oil, upon his men physically. They did a physical work that they had to physically, literally do. Oh, we get it on turtle doves and on sheep and goats. But what we do is in a spiritual manner. Say what we say, God.
Thank God.
Leviticus 8:11. Raising his hand, Aaron must then present the Levites. We're talking about the priesthood of God. The Levites. They present to the Lord as they are presented, meaning the priests. The priests are presented to the Lord as a what? A special offering from the people of Israel, thus dedicating them to the Lord's service. I'm reading out of New Living Translation. This is what Aaron's doing. Aaron must then present the Levites to the Lord. Next, the Levites will lay their hands on the heads of the young bulls, present one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering to the Lord. To what? To purify the Levites and make them right with God. So two things they did. They did it to purify and make themselves right with God. So they literally had to have these animals desecrated. They had to kill them in order to offer the blood to be right with God. Then have the Levites stand in front of Aaron and his sons and raise your hand and present them as a special offering to the Lord. 14 verses. In this way, you will set the Levites apart from the rest of the people. Are you hearing me, Levites? Are you hearing me, priests of God? And then you guys remember what I said, that a great separation? Yes, well, these Levites were set apart as a great separation. They were not
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He said, they will belong to me. I lost my place. 15 verse. After this, they may go into the tabernacle to do the work. They're satisfied with God. Then they go into the tabernacle to do the work. Why? Because they have been purified. You have purified them and presented them as a what? Special offering. While we're reading this, think about you yourself. 16 verse. All the people of Israel, the Levites, are reserved for me. This is what God is saying. I have claimed them for myself in place of all the firstborn sons of the Israelites. I have taken the Levites as their substitute. For all the firstborn males among the people of Israel are mine. Both of people are of animal. I have set them apart for myself on the day I struck them down all the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. Yes, I have placed the Levites, see yourself, in place of all the firstborn sons of Israel. And all of the Israelites, I have assigned the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They will do what? Serve in the tabernacle on behalf of the Israelites and make sacrifices to do what? To purify the people so no plague will strike them when they approach the sanctuary. So Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel dedicated the Levites carefully, following all the Lord's instructions to Moses. The Levites purified themselves from sin. They did. They washed their clothes. They did. And Aaron lifted them up and then presented them to the Lord as a special offering. He then offered a sacrifice to purify them and make them what? Right with God. After that, the Levites went into the tabernacle to perform their duty. See, you got to be right before God before you go and perform it. You see the protocol of God. You see the covenant. You see we're reading the covenant. See, you don't sign a mortgage deed or a contract without reading the instructions. You know we're living in an age where we sign up with all these things on social media and we say, read it in brief first. We go and get a new sale or we get a new contract. Read it and then sign. No, we don't read. We just check it out and sign. We don't have time to read all that. But this covenant, you need to read. Now go ahead and skip over that now. You let me have the phone with the recognition. That's whatever. But don't miss this covenant. I'm not going to miss this covenant. Look, my heart is in this thing. I want to see here the magnitude of your position and the vital manifestation of your duty as holy priest of the Lord, being one that offers spiritual sacrifice on the behalf of other people.
My God.
So just as it was this day, we are the priests of God. We are the one that is anointed to do this, offering spiritual sacrifices. And I'm skipping over some of this. However, because we are the priests of God, we have to understand the season that we live in. We're living in a season of the coal and cattle. This is a season of a form of godliness. This is a season where not many are ready or really want to really unite with God on a horizontal, on a vertical level, so they can get along on a horizontal level. Not everybody is ready for all that, God. But the priests that are ready, we are the ones to usher them into connecting with God as to where they need to be. And so when we're unified with God's Spirit, this is more important, as I said earlier, to us unified horizontal with anybody. Right. We are the living sacrifice that he asked for in Romans, holy, present yourself, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Remember, they gave up rams, turtles, dogs. They offered it to what? Purify themselves and do what? Make themselves right. So he told you to do it. Say, man, you clean up yourself.
Right.
You offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. Meaning this is not hard for you to do. Remember, nobody really struggling in these years. You ain't struggling today, so you shouldn't be struggling to present yourself when God has enabled us by his what? His Spirit. If his Spirit is in you, say with me, God's Spirit is in me.
God's Spirit.
And I cry.
Glory.
Hallelujah. So no one can do this for you, though. I'm going to tell you this. You don't have to do this for yourself. It's time not for struggling and working hard and other stuff and exhausting yourself and not understanding that you got to lay about the captains of the earth in prosperity. So this is what enables us. It is the Holy Spirit that calls us to thrive in God. It is not God's will for us to unify with the ungodly. Come back here, people. What are you doing? Who told you to cut the nasty off? Did I tell you to go fight for me? People, what are you doing? Just walk right on, Jesus. And be in your own way. See, it's time for us to start uniting with our emotions. And what I think I need to do. I need to help God. I need to help God save them. I need to help God save me. This is what I think I need. Hallelujah. We got to understand that God has not called us to unify with anything ungodly. He said, be not ye unequally yoked with unbelievers. That means even in yourself, you selfish nature is unbelievable. My own nature is unbelievable. You think my nature believes in Jesus on its own? They want to fool me to believe in it. Say to me, I can't unify with that. Which means that everything old has passed away when you're in Christ, when you unify with Him. And so this old stuff, I can't unify with this old stuff. That's a passed away. The whole of the scriptures say, I got to unify with this new stuff. So there must be a transition. I got to unify with my position as royal priesthood in this position of Christ, a holy nation, a peculiar people, set aside and unashamed of God. We are unashamed. Why? Because we're separated from sin. Sin makes you ashamed. We are God's prized possession, already blessed of the Lord and in favor. You didn't know that. People should have to tell you that. Tell yourself. Say, I am blessed. I am saved. Oh, Lord. My God. And so we got to go back to the Word and claim everything the Word says concerning us. Not by just words, but by deeds.
That's right.
This is mine. Meaning I'm not going to lay in this bed of affliction, this bed of addiction, this bed of compromise, this bed of being the repro, this bed of always being the blame.
My God.
Oh, get up from here.
Get up.
I'm going to be like the woman that with the issue of blood, she got fired up there with me. I'm fired up with my condition. I'm wondering one thing about people in myself. You don't stop to get fed.
Come on, that's right.
That's why I'm just standing still and see the salvation of the Lord. I can't make nobody do nothing when they get fed up there. So this is not about working in the flesh. Working according to what we have, think we have need of. We have been getting the cart before the horse. We've been working endlessly. So now the Word of God has enabled us to work smart. You ever say, I'm not going to work hard, I'm going to work smart.
Right, right.
Working smart meaning working according to the will of God, the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. God has not called you to do something you cannot do. I got to shake myself from this spirit of hypocrisy. It's time for the church to stop faking with each other.
Hey.
It's time to stop being phony.
Learn
how to make the scriptures and try to make blessed fit. Send me blessed on faith.
Hey.
It will never fit. Because one thing about flesh, when it's tested, people will jump ship and leave you the same. Suddenly, I refuse to be the same. And I do. Oh, God. Hallelujah. And so we got a mirror of the, we can't mirror the world, but we got to mirror the Word. The church got to stop mirroring the Word, the ungodly. Because of the material things and expression, we try to unify with that God saying, uh-huh, that ain't it. See, the world is neck and neck in stuff. And the stuff is what's sinking him factually.
Yeah.
You remember the man in the Bible who challenged the chains? And the man literally said out of his mouth, he told Jesus, I'd be that.
Right.
Everything he was challenged with, oh, I cut that.
Right.
Well, I was just swinging
right
off his neck. Oh, I think that Jesus said, okay, I got a challenge for you.
Right.
And I'm wearing the seat and watching things sit down. Because Jesus already said, apart from me, you can't do nothing. And so God, they are challenging the church today. I'm challenging you to do this. And don't tell me, well, if I did that, but I ain't willing to do this. Well, God said, you just like the man you're in the hand. Jesus challenged me because he didn't know this is what I want you to do. He told us that today, he said, I want you to sit all over there. I want you to get up on that. If you can detach yourself from that stuff, then you can be on my team. You can unify with me. So I can call you on this stuff. You can stop to move out of this thing and say that only you can go on and you can rise up. To this newness of life. We have to understand that God is challenging us. You know what the man did? He walked away with his head. And now let's go to Philippians 2, where we are.
Thank you, Lord.
After moving godly and living godly, moving in God, you are that He's going to call me to live godly. Then I can take a word like this Paul gave these people. I'm going to tell you this. And don't feel like I'm trying to trick you. This word is what they're excited about.
Come on, that's a big one.
It ain't for the weak. Mm-mm. It ain't for the feeble. It ain't for the warm. That's not with me. Jesus saying it all. They say Jesus don't keep paying their part. He said, no, I ain't. But Jesus said it all for their own. And he's going to bring it. No, I need you to say it.
Wow.
You've been preaching and teaching all this He said, make me happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. He said, I don't understand. I need to know that you're came there and that you're working while I'm not looking at
right,
you.
Right.
Do you know this is God talking to us?
Right.
I need to understand that you're working without seeing the provision of my hand. Are you willing to see something? Even though we don't have what the you know how people, some people broke, even the other people broke, they were like,
Jesus,
oh my God. Oh, they're going through. I said, I'm ashamed of myself. You don't need to know what I'm about.
Come on,
that
come
ain't your business. I'm going to talk about what this book says about me. So why? Why did I do that? So I can bring my supply to you. See, when we don't unify with the book, when we come together, how good it is for brother and two together, in unity is what the dude that fell from my heart, even like the fresh anointing that fell from my heart. When we don't unify with the Spirit, then we cause ourselves to give other folks something that we don't want.
Wow.
He said to them, as he challenges them, he said, loving one another. And working hard together with what? One mind, one person. Then he said, don't be selfish, trying to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. He said, don't look out for your own interest, but take interest in others too. So these powerful words of challenge, it seems too vague and too large for us. How can we do this? I'm going to tell you this. This message was to a particular people. In the book of Revelation, and I'm going to paraphrase this for the sake of time, Jesus, God gave the revelation of who Christ was to Jesus. When Jesus in turn gave it to the angels and the angels, and they gave it to John. But in this vision of the Lord, there were seven churches of Asia Minor. Only two churches out of seven pleased God. It was the church of Smyrna, which is a persecuted church, and it was the church of Philadelphia. Church of brotherly love. Paul was talking to a rare people. One time, Paul, see, some people be trying to claim Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs, God. Paul released this prophetic word upon these people. You know why? Because they were willing to give unto God's righteous cause. They had unified with God. They moved in the Spirit. And they brought the voice of the man of God. So therefore, when Paul was speaking, he was speaking to people that were willing to do this hard thing. I can do this hard thing. And so these words challenged them. And it caused them to shake themselves and always examine themselves. Don't think about what is right for you. Your whole lifestyle should be predicated on who I can save. When you look to another man's interest, your life is hung up in God. I'm not seeing this word. I'm not looking to the angels and giving them some food.
Right.
The world can give them some food.
That's right.
When they eat food, they're going to bring it out and it's going to be what? Done.
Uh-huh.
But what Paul said, I want you to give them this love of Christ.
Yeah.
This love that supersedes anything tangible you can ever give them. So we got all kind of people in Christendom today. And when we unify with each other, we can allow those goats that in the mixture of the sheep to cause us to shipwreck our faith in God. We got to understand that I got to stand flat-footed on who I am so that my lifestyle would challenge those that are trying to get
it.
Everybody made up their mind to unify with this position, to be enabled to thrive in God. Just as there are pros and cons in life, in all things, there are specifics that we must adhere to. You got to adhere to this word. If the word's out there, it's not as well with ungodly, it don't dwell with. So if that mean don't look out for their interest. You need to look out for their interest. Give them Jesus, but don't dwell with them. Love on them in the way you want to be loved. Some of the people are going to be in hell and say, oh, don't you want to say? God, don't you want to be in hell? He never tell me about you. Will you show love to your brothers and sisters in front? It means for you to stand in your position as the food God has called you. Now allow manipulation and seduction to draw you into anything that you don't agree with. You have to know that I am committed to this word. I'm not committed to be anything but the church of Philadelphia. Meaning, well, I got a whole pack of my professional love. I don't care what they do. We're living in much manipulation in the world. Your love walk is being tested. You know that? See, we live in a world where folks say, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Oh, you ain't scratching my back no more? I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to show you. Honey, if people know how to be cut off these days, I know what it means to be cut off. Do you know what it means to be cut off? You got to experience what Jesus went through. I didn't know that Jesus came to his own people and was willing to unify. You know what they were willing to do? Crucify him. See, those who know so dear to you, even those that you worship with, glory to God, if there's no friction there, glory to God, who really should question the situation? Because it almost said that you got a bed just like the Lord suffered over. There was some sheep and goats. What they saw in the tradition sitting next to Jesus? So we got to let us know that I got to maintain my sonship. I got to maintain this position of thriving. I can't let flesh call me rise up in competition and jealousy. Try to tell the people back and let them know that I'm there with them. That's manipulation. It's witchcraft. Oh. If you treat me one way and you get a heart of me and you try to treat me different, trying to show me that you still mad, you're a witch.
You're a witch for real.
What we do, we allow people to grow up and say, okay, you don't care about that then.
You're dead.
You're unified with Christ with that foolishness. When you're unified, you're able to pass your head. This is my call after me. Our question, how do you feel with the Spirit? Do you know God? Hallelujah. Do you have a love of God? Paul said, I'm not telling you, you're being tested by your brothers and sisters. I want to see you pass your test. What did you do? How did you handle them? Did you stand still and see salvation? Did you intercede for them? Did you pray? Did you need to not think I'm just around? You can't allow this flesh to drive you in and unify with hatred, strife, jealousy, promiscuity. Okay, angel, I'm going to show them. Next time it's my turn to be done, look over them just like they can do. That's what we're living with. It's called hypocrisy. It's called apostasy. It's called witchcraft. So in God, when we move with God, we live by it. Meaning when I'm tested, when I'm crying, when I'm moving, when I'm on growth, I'm obeying God. And I'm not going to shepherd this faith that God has given me. Oh, I love unconditionally. I'm going to hope the best for those that use me and despitefully slander my name. I'm going to maintain status quo. Why can't I do that? Why? Because me and the body of Christ are just like the prodigal son. Many have left the father's house. They have left the moving of the Spirit. But God is trying to box them in with sickness, box them in with that, box them in, and they're still, many are not getting it. But what did the prodigal son do? He lost everything he had, the Bible says. He rise up and say, I got a house of royalty over there. I got food to eat. I got clothes. Why am I here in this life? I got the devil knocked up off to go unify with where I belong. I'm royalty. Hallelujah. You got to rise up and say, I'm not in the glory of God. Come on, live this life without apology. No. Well, you know, I would testify and say how good God is, but I might hurt them people feeling. No, you better testify them what makes you who you are. That's right. You are Lord, and if you want that for yourself, they are even so. That's the other time we go. This is why they may believe. This is why they must be healthy. This is why they will all family want. This is why my members work. If God, he did it all. I'm too stupid to make things right. I need God. I'm a prodigal. I'm a prodigal. It's a violent poverty. So now, there are so many tricks and schemes that are out there. Just like God is calling in the final harvest in these last days. Satan is walking up and down to and fro. Seeing who he can get to unify with him. Seeing who he can just spread his wings over. He's spreading his wicked devices all over the earth. You got to stand up in the violent mentality. Sometimes don't you feel yourself and you say, where'd that come from?
Yes.
You be like, when in the wrong place, you be like, oh.
That's right.
You got to get inside. Amen. Child of God. Get back into the Father's covering. Get back into uniformity with God. Two things I want to leave, scriptures I want to leave you with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John 3, I believe it is. Let me up front. It says, those who are born of the seed of God have ceased from sin. When you unify with God, when you unify with the Holy Spirit, you literally cease from sin. Hear me now. This is in the Word. Sign it. Somebody don't believe me. 1 John 3:9. What they mean, we cease from sin. See, some people that are saved think they got an option. They say, well, I ain't got no option. God spoke all already been set for the believer. Walk before me and be holy. Period. So I don't have an occasion to swing into God and tomorrow I'll swing out of love. You unify with this over here. And then you come to the church all bowed and down. And they wonder, well, what's wrong with you? Oh, I've been over there telling the truth.
Right.
Come to the altar and lay out. Come here, go. Come to the altar and lay out. You know, lay out and cry with you. Oh, that's real. We got some stories we can tell you. Sometimes we miss it. Glory to God. Says, well, that is called the John. 1 John 3:9. Read it from the prophets.
One New Man Translation.
Okay, you got a different translation.
Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us.
First John 3:9. You got to come to us. You can't say you ain't got. You know what that means?
Lord, that those who have been born of God.
Born of God. That's it.
Have not sinned.
Right.
For his sins, for his seed remains. In him.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot sin
because
he has been born of God.
Glory to God. You see how you ain't striving to be born of God. I don't strive to be born of my mama. I'm born of my
heart. That's right.
Ain't nobody can change that womb when you're born of God. It's in you.
That's right.
And you will produce after his kind. That's what scripture was that about?
First John 3:9. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practical sin. Because of God's life. Because of God's life is in them.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God.
Man, you can't keep practicing that same old sin habitual. You keep doing it and say, God, help me again today. You're going to do this for the last 40 years.
Thank you. You Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.